gorgeous, Sherry. Gorgeous. Your touches, the decor, and the efforts that you make doesn't go unnoticed. So I want to share with you this morning. A couple of weeks ago, during my time of reading through the Word, and I find that just even though it's regimented, I'm following a Bible reading plan, and so it's just designed, as most of you know, just that. So I'm reading through the Bible again this year, and so it just kind of keeps me on track to make sure I'm reading enough, and as God is so faithful to do, even though I don't know how many times I have read through the Word. There are things that I discover that in this particular case, it's not like I hadn't seen this verse before, but there are times where I just go, wow, I didn't realize that verse was in the Bible. Or that verse really has much more meaning just based on what I'm going through today or last week or presently or whatever. And this is one of those verses that I've read it before, and I don't think I've ever preached on this particular verse. There's this verse similar, or as I will make reference to, several verses, many verses similar in the Scripture. But here it is. Let me just one verse. It's out of 1 Corinthians, into the chapter of chapter 15, verse 58. It says, "Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Stand firm, let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain." And I took that and personalized it. Just it's like, therefore, David, my wife calls me when I'm in trouble, but God wasn't speaking to me as though I'm in trouble, just that. You know, that strong word, just stand firm. Let nothing move you. Don't you dare move. Stand still. And always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. And I can't tell you the number of times in just the last 2 weeks, maybe three, that I've heard so strong in my spirit. You know how you hear a song that just kind of keeps going, running through your mind, and sometimes you like the lyrics. Sometimes it's like, oh, I wish I could get that song from. But this is a verse that is just kind of like just constantly speaking in my spirit. I can just hear the words of the Lord speaking these words again and again. You know, just that stand firm. Don't you respond to that. Don't you worry about that. Don't you open your mouth about that. Don't you try to change, you know, just so many different just exhortations and reminders to just stand firm, stand still, and don't react. And I just this morning would both encourage each of you and challenge each of you to heed, you know, to hear these words once again. Let's read this. I realize the anchor and the cement kind of makes the words kind of busy there, but I felt like this picture just communicated I won't talk much, if any, about an anchor, but I feel like that I read something recently. It says I can't remember exactly what it was, but you know, an anchor is only as secure as what it is connected to. If you have an anchor and you throw it off the boat to secure the boat, and you forget to attach the chain. Bye-bye anchor. You know, we just kind of take, bye-bye boat. I didn't think that's a graphic picture of our lives if we're not anchored. You know, sometimes it's not a bad thing to check to see just what our lives are anchored to. So there's the picture. But let's read this verse again together, shall we? Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Do you know? And by the way, there is no Labor Day connection with this. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you that your word is a firm foundation. It never changes. It's never shaky. It's always secure, always firm, always something we can count on. Lord, we want to be a people that whose lives demonstrate the fact that we are anchored in you and anchored in your word. Lord, would you speak your word and build your word in a way that it grabs our hearts, our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. I mentioned that there are several other verses that convey similar message, and so I want to read just a few, and then I'll actually refer back to them a little bit later. But here's one out of Psalm 16:8. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. I shall not be moved. Here's another out of Psalm 62. My soul waits in silence for God only. That is a challenging verse. I mean, that's one of those that don't just read that. Ask yourself, can I say that genuinely to you, Lord? Lord, my soul waits in silence for you alone. Doesn't mean that we don't have opportunity or there isn't a time for us to speak, but there is also a time just to be silent. Lord, I'm waiting for you. I'm waiting for you. I'm waiting for you. From you, O Lord, little paraphrase, from him is my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation and my stronghold. I shall not be greatly shaken. You know, those words are the first two verses of Psalm 62, and then just in a few verses later, it's repeated verbatim. And I think there is something about not just being aware of these truths, but declaring these truths in the midst of what's trying to shake you, what's trying to move you, what's trying to mess with you. And there's just that declaration needs to be said. Lord, my soul waits in silence for you only. From you, O Lord, is my salvation. For you are my rock and my salvation. You are my stronghold. I will not be, therefore, I will not be greatly shaken. And then it goes on, verses 7 and 8. Oh, on God, my salvation and my glory rest. The rock of my strength, my refuge, is in God. Trust in Him at all times, O people. Pour out your heart before Him. So there's the opportunity to do both, to sit in silence, and then also there's a time to pour out your heart before Him. For God is a refuge for us. Can I read a couple more? You like these verses? Habakkuk. Say Habakkuk. Habakkuk 2. This is, Habakkuk, just a small little book in the Bible. It's only three chapters long, but you want a powerful 1-2-3. Habakkuk has some concerns, some complaints, really, and he's bringing them to the Lord. Chapter 2, we'll have time to look through the whole book. Boy, there's a sermon in that, just stick with my notes here. Listen to him, in the midst of what he's facing and concerned about. Here's his declaration. I will stand at my watch and station myself on the ramparts. I will look to see what he will say to me. And he did. He did. He did just exactly. He did stand at his watch and station himself on the ramparts and waited to see what God would say to him. And then I'm skipping over an incredibly powerful verse, verse 2. But verse 3 says, if it seems slow, God's responding, by the way. God's responding. And he says, hey, Habakkuk, if it seems slow in coming, wait. Say that. Wait. It's on its way. Rest assured, it will, however, come right on time. So I just, that whole idea of stationing. I mean, I think we can picture that clearly. Just that I'm going to stay put. I'm not moving. I'm going to be still. I'm going to sit right here and wait. And wait. And wait. We'll talk more about waiting in a minute. I want to say this, first of all, though. We know, as followers of Christ, we know it doesn't go without saying, But we do know that we are called to stand firm. This isn't just a suggestion to a few, or something that on occasion you should consider standing firm and not being easily moved. We're called as followers of Christ to stand firm, to let nothing move us. We're called to always, not just sometimes, trust in God, always trust in God. Yes? And to wait. And to wait patiently. And sometimes even in silence. We're called to live a life rooted in the promises of God. And we know that His promises we know that God's promises are something we can bank on. God cannot lie, the Scripture says. That's one of the things that he can't lie. He is trustworthy. But the rub is, and we know this too, that God's promises always, they don't come to pass in the time frame than that we think they should. That's a rub, because we all have watches. I mean, we're governed by time. And we sometimes find ourselves crying out to God, God, don't you see? Yesterday I needed that promise. I mean, I needed your intervention already. And I'm waiting. And then tomorrow comes and I'm still waiting. And it just, and so we know that there are times that we think God isn't going to show up, or that he's late, or that maybe he doesn't care, or that, and we find ourselves doubting or wanting to move, or wanting to despair, or wanting to give up, or 100 other things. Am I the only one? Yes? And then we have the enemy, that the enemy of our souls, that sometimes I think we forget. You know, I think it was TR that prayed about, you know, that he is seeking whom he can devour. He is. And the trouble with the enemy is that he's sneaky. Very rarely do you it's like whenever I live by the train tracks, and when the train's coming, I mean, those of us that get used to it, you hear the rumble way before you hear the whistle. But you always, if you live close to a crossing, you always hear the whistle. Satan rarely whistles. I don't know if he ever whistles. Rarely do you see him coming, or you certainly don't see him announcing his coming. Hey, watch out, get ready. There's none of that. You don't hear the rumble either. But his main goal is to move us, even if it's just a little bit. And especially if he can move us without us even knowing it. That's in his mind, that would be the best scenario. And so there's always that which, you know, would just even a little discouragement or a little intimidation or a little just something that would just kind of cause a little loss of heart, a little loss of hope, because of course it can grow into a great loss of heart or hope, and so that we want to give up or begin to be whiny or critical or frustrated, or, you know, just the myriad of emotions or feelings that we have, because we know that that's the ploy. And so all the more reason for us to take our stand, especially when we feel the train, you know, the attack or the disgrace. And that's where it's so hard, because if we feel so strongly, it's even more difficult to stand. But we must make that declaration that like so many, not just Habakkuk, so many that have stationed themselves. I'm not gonna move. And that's why silence sometimes is so vital, because we can make things, it's like putting an exponent on the issue when we open our mouths. How many of you can relate to that? So I just want to offer in the next few minutes three things, and just so very practical, but so very needful. Just three things that we need to be reminded, and that we see so clearly in these verses and in so many other verses. Just it's a theme. It's the theme throughout the scripture, and the first thing I would offer: slow down. How many have gotten you know, you think, you anticipate something happening, and so you kind of put yourself in a position to either brace or prepare, and you realize, oops, I should have just stayed right where I was. Probably one of the better examples is the shorter line. The faster lane is my next fact. Let me tell you about, it may take a little longer than a few minutes now that I think about it, but it's not like we're going to be late for lunch, right? I changed insurance, car insurance companies recently, because I know the insurance agent I have with my home had been mentioning a long time that, you know, if you switch over, there's multi, I mean, there's what do you call it when you multi policy discounts. I like the sound of discounts, and then when my current insurance, all of a sudden I get this big increase, it was kind of a motivation for me to check it out. And sure enough, he was right. It was even cheaper than what I was paying. But he got me to participate. One of the little caveats was that if you allow us to put in a GPS, it's called, this is what's called, My Safety Valet. So every month, like just like last Thursday or whatever the first was, Thursday, you get this report, this email report says you have, this is how many miles you've driven, and this is, you know, just all these stats and how many trips you've taken. And then it says you have this many braking, what's the word? Braking incidents. Yeah, you have this many braking incidents. You have this many cornering incidents, and you have this many speeding incidents. Now, you won't believe this, but for the month of, I'm not going to ask Karen, she gets it too, but for the month of August, I had zero speeding incidents. Yeah, it's true. I'm telling the truth. I'm surprised myself. because I don't have one on my bike, so. But what was I going to say now?
Sorry.
That's okay. Yeah, I lost it. Maybe I was just going to say, it's not that I haven't, I guess part of it is that what it does is it shows you if you've moderately speeded or if you've extreme speeding. I think it's if you go over 80 on the freeway, you get one of those. You can get those little red flag or something. And it's not supposed to affect your rates, but I'll tell you what it does when I'm driving and I think, you know, I really would rather, yeah. There's somebody watching. Is really just the admonition to slow down is a good one in life as well as on the road. It was Labor Day. I just thought of this morning. It was Labor Day weekend, probably 40 years ago. Wow. I had just bought my first road bike. It was a Honda 400 four-cylinder, and was it a screamer? A little cafe racer. And another friend of mine, and Karen and I, I don't even know if you remember this, Karen, but we took off together on our bikes, and it was Labor Day weekend. We were going to go cruise up in Angeles Crest, up where the fires are now, or have been. And we hadn't hardly got started to, you know, go through the corners, and lo and behold, there is an officer that is parked on inside of one of those corners, and as we came around the corner, he's doing this. And it wasn't that we were speeding, but he's just doing some checking. And when he asked for my license, I had a driver's license, but I hadn't yet had the opportunity to get my motorcycle's endorsement. And so we ended up, I think he gave me a ticket. I can't remember the ticket. All I remember was we had to go the other way. And I won't tell you any more of the rest of that story. We went the other way, all right. But I thought about that. That just came to mind this morning, and I remember thinking, what if when the officer did this, if we'd have said and just kept on going? I wonder how far we would have gotten. And probably more important, I wonder how much more in trouble I would have gotten into. I just that picture came to mind, and I just thought, I wonder how many times God, through our day, is going. And what I do is, good to see you, God. And then go to the next corner. And I just, it's not God. I want to check out your light. I mean, it's none of this. It's just God wanting us to slow down a little bit. Maybe even to a stop on occasion. Listen to this verse. And by the way, before I read this, as I think about it, and God doesn't, he doesn't do like what the police would do. He doesn't go jumping on, and chasing after us, and then, listen, buddy, God just waits for us. Listen to this verse, Psalm 63, first verse. Oh God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. I think we try to live our lives on fumes, and we're dehydrated, and sometimes we don't even know it. And the reason why we don't want to sit still, and it's so easily for us to jump when the enemy says boo, is because we're not drinking in the word. We're not taking the time. We're not responding to God saying, I don't want to take all your whole day. He just wants a few moments of our time to speak to us, to nourish us, to get us on, set straight or deep, deepen our roots just a little firmer. I've got something that'll just help you today. There's this around that corner, you see the car commercials where there's things kind of creeping out on the, or jumping out in front of the drivers, and it's like God knows that there's stuff in our paths. I've got something that'll help you not just get through your day, but that'll allow you to be effective, a kingdom builder during this day. So that was the first thing. I think the other two will take a little less time, but slow down. We must build some slow zones in place of the speed zones. Our lives are too fast-paced. Am I the only one? The second thing that I wanted to suggest, to offer, in addition to slowing down, listen. These are not rocket science suggestions, are they? You've heard about slowing down before, have you? Heard about listening? Listening is just a polite way of saying, shut up. I did have shut up first, but I decided it was more polite. How about this one? See if this verse is familiar. My soul waits in silence for God only. From him is my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation, my stronghold. I shall not be greatly shaken. Yeah. Oh, yes. Yes. We, a shaken is a given. We will be sometimes, you know, violently shaken. Yes? Habakkuk. So that was out of Psalm 62. Habakkuk again. I will stand at my watch. I will station myself. I will look to see. I will listen to see, to hear what he will say to me. We've heard the term, the expression silence is. Silence is golden. Be still. This is Psalm 46:10. Psalm 46. Oh my word. The whole psalm. And then it ends, basically it ends with, be still. Just be still and listen and know that I am God. Psalm 37:7, be still in the presence of the Lord and wait patiently for him to act. And that's the third word or third suggestion or not suggestion, these are imperatives. To slow down, to listen, and to wait, and to wait, and to wait. So I'm going to tell a story on myself that will sound like I'm bragging, and it's because I don't remember anything like this really ever happening, quite like this, my reaction anyhow. And it happened just, it's all these driving things. I'm sorry, it's just... a thing I'm challenged with constantly. And I'm sitting at the light about 8 o'clock, just before 8 o'clock. This would have been Thursday morning. So, right, school is just starting and buses are just dumping off the kids. And I'm waiting at the light. I've got an appointment just down the road at 8 o'clock. And that's about 5 minutes till, because I'm going to have plenty of time to get there. Not early, just right on time. So I pull up into the turn lane, I'm headed south on 19th, getting ready to turn left onto Main. Anybody ever been there? Anybody ever had to wait more than one cycle for the light to turn because there's so much oncoming traffic, especially when the buses are coming? I'm thinking, okay, I'm not going to get this first light. It's busy. Kind of. I should be okay time-wise. So the car that's out in the intersection there, when the light turns yellow and then turns red, he makes the left turn, and okay, now there's just one car in front of me. So most likely, the next cycle, I should be able to slip out there. The light turns red, light turns green. Here comes the oncoming traffic. The car in front of me does not move an inch. How many have been behind cars that don't take advantage of stepping out in the intersection? Just me? So, and there are people behind me. And so the light turns yellow and the light turns red. We did not move an inch. Make a long story short, longer than it would take to go through the cycles. I kid you not, 3 cycles later, and I'm going, I'm kind of like, you might be able to picture what you think I'm starting to do. And I'm not praying, but I am not going like this. I am not going like this. I'm remarkably, and this is why I want to talk about it, because this is pretty, after all these years, this is pretty amazing. Because my wife, I'm telling my wife the story, and I don't think she believes me to this day. And So it's now like the fourth time, and I'm really, this is what I'm thinking. I'm taking way too long to tell this story, but I'm thinking, do I get out and knock on the lady's window, the person's window, and suggest that, you know, you can move out? And immediately I thought, that could go wrong real quick. And even though I'd have good intentions. So you won't believe what happens next. At least the 15th cycle, well, it wasn't 15th, but it was a lot. All of a sudden, the light turns green, and she just jets. She just takes off in front of all the other, just go. I mean, it wasn't even close. It wasn't like the other, she was just gone. She anticipated and was gone. And I had to sit there and just, I was almost amused. I was, and it's so unlike me. I just had to share this victory. And so, oh yeah, when the light turns red or green, I almost followed her, you know. I might have if I'd have realized what she was going to do, but. Do you know that Abraham and Sarah were promised no less than 5 times that they would have a son? And they waited, and they waited way longer than for the lights to change. 25 years they waited. In fact, they waited so long that there was zero chance of them ever receiving the promise that God spoke to them. And it just seemed like it was impossible. It was really impossible when the promise first came. But now it's really impossible. And why? Why would God do that? Just to make life challenging and tough and to tease? You know, God doesn't do anything like that. He's never has any ulterior motives like that. But he does have the motive that says, you know, I want to make it clear that I and I alone am the source of fulfilling this promise, of bringing this to pass in my time, in my way, so I receive all the glory. And was God too late? No, and it's easy for us to say because we didn't have to wait the 25 years. But that's God's MO. That is absolutely God. That's the way you walk through. I haven't really done a thorough, like every single character in the Bible, but you look at, just to name a few, Joseph. The promise, and not only did he have to wait, he had to wait not only as a slave, but as a prisoner, incarcerated. And yet, did God turn that one around? Because Joseph waited, because he waited. And David, crowned, he was anointed king, but he would have to wait 7 years before he'd be crowned king and run for his life, wondering, God, what are you doing? But I just mentioned, I don't want to go on and on. Maybe we need to learn how to wait. I'm not gonna press the point in waiting for lunch, but we are consumed by our culture. We are consumed, and it's the reason why we get into debt. It's the reason why we get in all kinds of trouble. Because we can't wait. We think we, like Sarah and Abraham, who thought Sarah's suggestion of Hagar might be a good one, and not only didn't receive God's provision, but really made a mess of things. And we've got enough messes without helping to make more messes. I do, anyhow. So, Lord, would you help us to hear, help us to hear the wisdom of your word, Lord, the wisdom of your ways, that we would be a people that would not run, not idle, as fast as our culture, as fast as the world. Lord, we want to march. We want to walk. We want to live according to the pace that you have for our lives. Help us to slow down. Help us to see the need to slow down, and to listen, and to wait. And I don't know what, well, we're just waiting before the Lord for a few moments here. Just, I don't know what it is that you're waiting for, what it is that you're antsy about, what it is that you're facing or going to face. But it's inevitable. Would you just, in the quietness of your spirit, just hear yourself declare to God, I will station myself. I will not be moved. I will wait for you, O God. I will wait silently. I will listen. And my prayer this morning, O Lord, is that you would remind us, that you would make this verse of Scripture be a verse, Lord, that would be rehearsed, would be spoken in our spirits over and over and over again. Because we're so easily caught up. We're so easily moved. Thank you, Lord, for being the God, for being our anchor, for being our solid rock, for being our firm foundation. And thanks, Lord, for loving us so much and for your patience with us. We love you this morning, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together. There is a verse out of, like I said, as you read through the scripture, you can be amazed at how many verses that repeat this message, because it is a vital message. Here's the verse, and just grabbing it right out of the middle of Isaiah chapter 7. In fact, it's right before God says, "Hey, I'm going to give you a sign. A virgin will conceive." And so it's right before the promise of the Messiah. It says this: if you do not stand firm in your faith, you will not stand at all. So may God bless each of you with strength in your spirit to stand, and not only to stand firm. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, let's go downstairs and barbecue.